Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the Talking Football Podcast. My name's Derek Clark, and each week I bring you an exclusive, in-depth interview with some of the most colourful and interesting characters in the game. If you've missed any so far, you can listen to them back on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and also on the website derekclarksport.co.uk. A big thank you is in order, first of all, as we've broken through the 1,000 downloads mark. The show is growing week on week, and it's great to see more of you listening. This week it's time to cross the pond to the good old US of A to speak to a Scottish coach currently in charge of the famous Tampa Bay Rowdies. It was a real pleasure to chat to the former Wolves, Leeds and Sheffield United defender Neil Collins, a leader on the field. He's now showing his leadership qualities on the touchline. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode of the Talking Football Podcast. Hello and welcome everyone to this week's edition of the Talking Football Podcast. I'm absolutely delighted to say we're joined on the line this week by a Scottish defender, best known for playing for the likes of Wolves, Leeds United and Sheffield United, and now coach of the famous Tampa Bay Rowdies. It is, of course, the one and only Neil Collins. Neil, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me. Pleasure to speak to you.
Let's kick off all the way back. You were born in Troon, is that right, in 1983?
That's very right, yes. Born and raised in Troon.
Excellent stuff. What was it like back then? Can you remember kicking the ball at a young age?
Yeah, I'm really, really fortunate to be brought up in a place where real hotbed for football at the time, you know, Ayrshire in general, and was in a place where I was able to go and play with my friends pretty much every day after school at the park. So really fortunate. The exposure to football at that age was unbelievable, and then going to watch my local team come out every weekend as well, it was always good to go and watch football, you know. So fantastic childhood growing up.
Yeah, watching Kilmarnock, did you have any sort of role models growing up?
Quite a few favourite players, but Tommy Burns was the favourite, you know. Obviously a great player at the club and then manager, and took us into the Premier League, and He was my hero. And you hear people talk about Tommy Burns now, and I think he's a lot of people's hero, you know. So he was great. But there was other great players as well that I enjoyed watching, come out, Gary Holt being one of them. So anyone that pulled on the blue and white stripes was a hero in my eyes.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, we've known you as a defender, Neil, but did you play other positions growing up?
I honestly generally gravitated towards being a defender. Pretty much all my career, as much as I thought I might have been a midfielder at times or liked to play up front, I always ended up behind the ball playing centre-back, so that was definitely my best position and the one that I always played. It was more in my professional career that I ended up playing that full-back at times to fill in, but bit of a one-trick pony at centre-back, I'm afraid.
And you started at Kilmarnock, is that correct? Did they scout you as a youngster?
Yeah, I think, again, I was lucky enough to play in a very good youth team at Trin Thistle, and went on trials and trained with different professional teams and, you know, played games with Kilmarnock at kind of 13 before getting released. The same with Aberdeen and Hearts as well, around about the same time. So I had then a couple of year period where I wasn't really involved in a professional club, and then at 15 went and signed for Queen's Park in Glasgow, and that's where really my career started to go back on the upward curve.
What was that like joining them, and have you got much memories of playing for Queen's Park?
Oh yeah, great, unbelievable memories. I've got a huge soft spot for the club. It was actually my dad that recommended change of scenery, so I wrote to Queen's Park. Got a great history of giving young players a chance and getting them in the first team early. Obviously much more famous, but like some people, Andy Robertson took a similar path to myself, and then went there at 15, and after a couple of training sessions realised they had an unbelievable youth team in my age group. We played that year in the Glasgow League, played a lot of the pro youth teams, and we won every game. We didn't draw any, we didn't lose any, we won every game, won the Scottish Cup of an age group, and a lot of that team went on to play for the first team the following years, so real enjoyable time, and John McCormack gave me my debut at 17 and when I was still at high school, so it was real fond memories and real great club to play for.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about John McCormack because he's he earns quite a reputation as sort of hard taskmaster. What was he like to play under?
Yeah, he was. He was hard. He was hard on me, but always with the best of intentions. And you know, he was great for me at that age. You know, I was a young defender, made a lot of mistakes. But again, he gave me my chance. He played me pretty much every week, you know, for a season. And you know, I owe a lot to John for giving me that opportunity. And it was a really young side we had, and it was a tough season. But you know, again, just someone that's, people might use the word old school or the phrase old school, but not always in the worst sense. You know, he's an honest guy and demands a lot, but he's good man management as well. So it was tough at times. I couldn't say I enjoyed it every day. But I look back now and really appreciate, you know, the schooling that he gave me, and it stood me in good stead for the rest of my career.
Yeah, definitely. And a youngster as well, what was it like? I know it wasn't anywhere full, but to play at Hampden as a youngster, it must have been great to play there every other week.
Oh, it was great. It was excellent. That was where I made my debut, and obviously, yeah, the atmosphere is not the same as it is when it's full, but just great place to play, and the whole facilities that surround Queen's Park were excellent at the time. You really felt like a professional player, so that was good. Unfortunately, never got to play there, you know, in any finals over Scotland, but it was definitely a good experience.
The time came when you went and joined Dumbarton. How did the move come about? And were you sorry to leave Queen's Park at the time, or I guess it was a step up?
It was a tough decision. We came back from pre-season. I played the full season with Queen's Park the previous year. It was a tough season for everyone, and came back the next year. Felt I'd moved on a level in terms of the way I was playing. I really learned and probably grown a little bit as well, and starting to develop. And then came back, felt really good. I was playing really well pre-season, and then played Dumbarton in a pre-season game. And I think the story goes, after about 20 minutes, the manager and the owner at the time, just from Dumbarton, just said, "We need to go and get this boy." And they approached me, and I just thought at the time it was quite a good opportunity to play in a higher division in a professional setup under David Winnie, who had a good career himself, and just thought it was a different challenge for me. Wales University, so signed for Dumbarton, and you know, ended up playing there for 2 years. So it wasn't an easy decision. I knew there was other full-time clubs sniffing around at the time, but thought it was a nice step up in a different challenge.
Yeah, you mentioned there at uni, of course, you were doing a degree at the University of Strathclyde. Was it hard to sort of juggle the studies in the football?
At times it was. I think it's something that I had to find a way. You just have to find a way, and I did. Training 2 nights a week and playing on Saturday, there's no hardship. But obviously there's times you have to have the discipline. I used to do a lot of extra training on my own because my desire was to go full time at some point or another. And that wasn't always easy, but I managed to do it. And again, going to university might have been the best thing for me at that stage, you know, because it really, really got me to mature and just realise about, you know, how to balance studying and playing, and just a different way of handling it. So it was a great time in my life. I enjoyed it. Met a lot of good people, both at university and playing part-time football. And as much as it would have been great to go full-time at 16, I think that gave me the best of both worlds.
You were captain there as well for a time, weren't you? Did that sort of come naturally to you, a bit of leadership?
Yeah, again, anyone I've played with me will tell you I'm not short of voice my opinion. But definitely pretty animated at times. And that stage, Brian Fairley, the manager, gave me the captaincy. You know, I look back and it was a great honour at the time. I think probably made plenty of mistakes as a young captain, but tried to lead by the way I played as well. And it was great experience. And we actually ended up finishing third that season, missing out in promotion by, I think, a point or maybe a couple of goals. It was definitely close. So really, really enjoyable season, you know. And it was good to be captain of some great lads.
Yeah, certainly a couple of years there then, and then the big move down south to Sunderland. How did all that come about?
So I think during my period at Dumbarton, quite early in my first year, I started getting a little bit of interest and people wanted to see me on trial. I went to Rangers. That ended up not really working out for a couple of different reasons. They wanted me to play in a game and the Dumbarton wouldn't let me play in a game, so that was awkward. And then I went to Charlton, who were at the Premiership at the time, and they had me twice, they're down there twice, but they had someone pretty similar in their reserve team, so they nothing happened, and I knew there was other teams, you know, kind of interested. I finished my contract at Dumbarton and went to Dundee United on trial, and they wanted me to go back again, but I had Gordon Smith, who was my agent at the time, had lined me up a trial at Sunderland. They were kind of looking for young, hungry players, and I went down there, and in the first week did well enough to get asked back for a second week. McCarthy integrated me into the first team, and I felt I'd done really well. And again, I think he was one of the only managers that went in trial, really just looked at who I was as a player and didn't really worry too much about where I'd been. He knew I'd got professional experience, and then offered me a contract after the second week there. And obviously moving to such a big club at Sunderland at that stage of my career was phenomenal opportunity. And then he said, you know, I'd be part of the reserve team, see how I adapted to first team, full-time football. And then within 4 weeks, I'd made my first team debut. So it really was a whirlwind kind of period, but certainly one that I look back on and it was quite surreal.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's quite a jump to go from Dumbarton to playing first team football to Sunderland. Did you notice much of a jump?
Without dismissing it, I mean, of course, the quality of players that Sunderland had, Marcus Stewart, one of the Premier League's top goal scorers not long before that, you know, Julio Arca won the Olympics for Argentina, Gary Breen played the World Cup with Ireland. I mean, there was no doubt in these guys' quality, it was huge. I feel that at that time actually playing with the better players helped me. It really helped me. I was really fit and I had a lot to learn at that level, but I think playing alongside these guys was a help, and I think fitted in relatively well. Physically, I had to develop, you know, playing in England, physically against some of the big, strong lads is tough, but, you know, I definitely managed to adjust to that. And you know what, the experiences I had playing for Dumbarton and Queen's Park and first team football really stood me in good stead. You know, it really did. So, there was obviously a jump up, no question, you're playing with international players, but I think in terms of the football brain that they had, and I felt I was ready for that, and I kind of adjusted well, so it was really good.
Yeah, and I mean, moving away from Scotland, away from home to move down there, did you manage to settle in quite well, or were there any players that sort of helped you settle?
Yeah, look, I've always been an independent person, close with my family, but always keen to go off and be independent, so I relished that challenge. And there was a young lads in the dressing room, they were fantastic. Chris Brown, they went on to play for like Blackburn and Norwich and Preston. You know, he was great. And then Dean Whitehead, Liam Lawrence. These guys who just came into the club from lower leagues in England. And Danny Collins, we all became really, really close. We had a fantastic group of young players there. Stephen Elliott, that went on to play for Hibs Hibs at Hearts and Ireland, and have a great career with. We were all at the same stage in our career, so we all really bonded closely, and the team spirit was fantastic. So, no, I was loving being away from home, living in the Northeast, being part of Sunderland and that group of guys. It was really, really enjoyable, team spirit at that time.
Yeah, and Mick McCarthy, of course, he brought you to Sunderland and signed you for Wolves. What was he like as a manager to play under?
You know, again, you hear many players that have played for him. He was top drawer. He's really, I think he's underrated. His record in the championship's phenomenal. Just very honest, just at that period in my career, just great in terms of man management, excellent. Get any manager that gives you that type of opportunity, you're gonna feel positive about. But on top of that, we were successful. We went and won the championship that year, and I think the team spirit that he created along with the tactical side of things, it was just great, and then he managed to replicate that at Wolves, so can't speak highly enough of him. And don't get me wrong, there was times I was frustrated with decisions he made, but now as an older, obviously, player, and then as a coach, you can really appreciate that he always did everything that was best for the team and for the club, and that's all you can ask. He was always honest about it.
You mentioned that you won promotion to the Premier League, but were you disappointed not to feature the following season in the top flight?
Obviously disappointed, but by the same token, I think I played 15 games the year we got promoted, and I felt that I did really well, but I always knew that if I played more extended period of time and I found it tough, I needed to go out on loan, and I went on loan to Hartlepool, and it was the right thing. At that stage in my career, to play regularly is totally different. Totally different challenge to being the main man playing every week. So I went away and did that and played 25 games between August and January, and then got called back to Sunderland. And I was a little bit disappointed then, between then and the end of the season, not getting an opportunity. I played in the FA Cup and scored in the first game back, but then we suffered a cup upset at Brentford. Didn't have a great day that day, and that probably made it tough to get an opportunity, and then Mick McCarthy actually got sacked, and real disappointed I didn't get a shot under Kevin Ball in the last 10 games. I mean, it seemed to me that literally everyone at the club got a shot at that point, and I didn't, but that's football, and it definitely made me more determined the following season.
You left the club, of course, and Mick get a job at Wolves and took you to Wolves. Did you have to think long or hard about moving there, or was it a no-brainer for you?
It wasn't getting quite as straightforward as we think, because I came back that year with Sunderland and really pushed hard to get in the team, and there was a bit of uncertainty. Now Quinn started off as the manager before Roy Keane came in, and I made a really good impression on Roy early on. I'm sure I was a player that he wasn't really that aware of, but I scored in his first game there, and then he put me in at right back, actually, away to Leeds, and we won 3-0 and had a good period. But then when Mick came in and Roy had played me at right back, and I'd been in and out of the team, and I just felt going to play with Mick, who was playing me centre back, and just who knew me, and Roy had signed a lot of players, we had a huge squad. If I'd been more experienced at the time, I might have stayed and just waited, but I thought the opportunity to go and play under Mick was too good to turn down, and then I went to Wolves and it turned out to be a good decision.
Yeah, it certainly did. I mean, you played regularly for Wolves during your time there. You get many happy memories playing at Molineux?
Oh, some of the best memories of my career. It was another fantastic group of lads, very similar to what I did at Sunderland, guys that were keen to get to the Premier League, guys that were keen to make their name. People like Michael Keightley, Stephen Ward, Andy Keogh, Sylvan Ewings played. You know, just another group of young guys, created a great pressing and spirit, supported by some experienced good players, and it's a great combination when you've got a good manager to organise you and develop you and get the best out of you. So, fantastic memories. I was lucky enough to score quite a few goals at the time at Wolves as well, important goals. So, they're always good memories, and great, great club, and when you're successful at a club like that, it's always good.
Do you keep an eye on Wolves just now, Neil? And how do you see them getting on this year? Because they're certainly impressing a few.
Yeah, it's hard not to notice them. They're doing so well. And their manager was on my B licence a few years back, and Nuno's done an unbelievable job. They've obviously got a really great setup behind the scenes, and the way you got the team playing, they're kind of conquering on all fronts right now. They're doing well in Europe as well as in England. So seems to me that the sky's the limit for Wolves right now, and I think if there's ever a year that a team could break into the top four, top six, this would be it. So I don't know if they'll quite manage that, but they've definitely put themselves in the position where they could.
You left Wolves, of course, in 2009. Was it a case that you were looking for more first team football? Is that the reason you joined Preston?
Yeah, you know what, looking back, probably a little bit of impatience from me. The season we won promotion to the Championship, towards the end I didn't play as much, I got sent off and didn't feature as much, and I think that was frustrating, and probably that frustration carried on, and I pushed to leave to just try and play regularly. I just wanted to play regularly, not a bad thing, but again, probably in hindsight, I could have been a little bit more patient. I probably would have got an opportunity somewhere down the line in the Premier League, but can't have too many regrets. I went to Preston under a good manager in Alan Irvine, and that just didn't quite work out. But, you know, I had a lot of good memories at Wolves. And again, I think as a player, if you always look to try and play and go somewhere where you're going to play, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
You were on the move again, of course, in 2010, joining Leeds United. How did that move come about? And I guess you've got a few good memories from playing at Elland Road.
Yeah, you know, I think I was very fortunate. I went to Sunderland and Wolves at the right time, and probably got to Preston at slightly the wrong time. I didn't perform at my best at Preston, but it was like an unsettling period for the club. And then when the opportunity came to go to Leeds on loan, they tried to sign me actually from Wolves, but they wouldn't put up the money to buy me, and that was really my preferred choice at the time. So I got there eventually and managed to help them, you know, get across the line, and it was probably one of my best days of my career when we beat Bristol Rovers the last game of the season to get promoted. That was a really enjoyable day. And then the following year into the Championship with them. So some good memories at Leeds. It's a fantastic club. It's great to see them, you know, kind of pushing again where they should be.
Yeah, I was going to ask that about that game. I mean, we've seen some of the games at Elland Road, right, classic games where the fans get right behind the team. But that certain game against Bristol Rovers, I mean, all the pressure was on. And what was it like to actually play in the game and come out in a positive result as well?
I remember the week leading up to the game. Can't say, but I was nervous. You know, there was nerves about it because you knew what was at stake. So I can't underestimate that. And heading into the game, we actually started the game really well, full crowd, full house, and I think the expectations were go out and we'd win handsomely. We had a very good side. But we got a man sent off in the first half, and with 10 men, you're always concerned that, you know, to get the job done, but especially when you're really pushing, when you have to push for the win. And then we came out in the second half and went 1-0 down. But what I would say then is that's when the fans really stepped up. I mean, you talk about a 12th man. I've seen it a very few times in my career, and that was one of them. The fans were phenomenal, and players rose to the occasion, and we managed to get the two goals back pretty quickly. And from that point on, we never looked like losing it. It was an unbelievable experience. And seeing a group of fans that had suffered so much pain the previous 3 or 4 years, that was a good moment and a really enjoyable day.
It was a sort of mad time for Leeds United back then. Ken Bates, of course, was the chairman. Did you have any sort of dealings with the chairman during your time there?
I did. He phoned me actually when they were bringing me back to the club on a permanent basis. He phoned me and spoke to me, and always found Ken quite straightforward actually, quite a decent guy, you know. So spoke his mind. Quite a colourful character, But yeah, good, you know, kind of good dealings with them, you know, which was sometimes not what people see, you know, on the outside, but on the inside, you know, took the time to phone me and speak to me and wanted the best for Leeds, so couldn't say really a bad word about them.
Playing at Elland Road and even playing away with the Leeds United back, and what was that like? I mean, they're renowned for taking a large following, of course, not only at home but on their travels.
Yeah, look, playing for Leeds is something special. The support that they've got. I mean, I remember where I lived, you used to always constantly get stopped in the street to talk about Leeds, and it's people's lives, you know, revolve around the club. So going away from home, they took so much numbers and anywhere, and then we were always on television as well. I mean, Leeds United is such a big pool; they're constantly on television. So, you know, when you're playing for Leeds United, you're always in the shop window, always people watching you. And with that comes demands, you know, and the pressure. And funny enough, I remember we beat QPR at Christmas, just before Christmas, 2-0 at Elland Road, and we're sitting second top of the Championship, and things were going so, so well. It was a pity that we couldn't galvanise that team and go on. I actually left about a month later, but we should have really went on and got promotion that year, that team. That was a disappointment.
Yeah, I think it's long overdue them getting back into the Premier League. Hopefully this is the year that they do it. When you joined Sheffield United, was that a case again that you're looking for more first team football, was it?
No, I mean, I think I don't know the stats, but I reckon up to that point I must have played about 75% of the games that year. I was out the team around just around January time, but I played pretty much every week. I did part of things. Thought we had a real, we were in the playoffs around that time. And yeah, really quite a strange turn of events. I think Leeds wanted to try and bring in a couple of players and do that. They had to raise some money. I think Ken Bates had said, if you want to bring in players, you need to sell someone. And it was one of the players that someone had an interest in. I played very well against Sheffield United earlier in the season. And when they accepted the bid, I think that kind of told me everything I needed to know in terms of where I stood with the manager. Again, whether it was hastily or not, you know, Sheffield United, just a great club. I'd been there before on loan. Thought it was a great opportunity. I was a little bit wary about where they sat on the table at the time, and but I thought we'd be good enough to get out of that. But when I turned up and arrived at the club, I realised quite quickly, you know, things weren't good, and it was a bad atmosphere behind the scenes. So it was a tough season. That those last 6 months at Sheffield United, I didn't adapt well either. I didn't help out a great deal. It was tough, and we ended up getting relegated. So that was a very disappointing period for the club. And rushed that move through in about a day or two. So again, hindsight's a great thing. I went on to have a really, really enjoyable time at Sheffield United after that. But that was a tough decision to make in a couple of days' time, you know.
Yeah, certainly. You played with a young Harry Maguire there. Could you tell back then that you would go on to become the player that he is now?
I mean, obviously it sounds like easy for me to say it now, but anyone that knows me, I've spoken in many outlets about it over the previous years, is I've been his biggest fan, and I've said for so long that I couldn't believe after his first season a big club didn't come in and sign him there and then. He was that influential that quickly. It's taken people a lot longer than me to realise that, but it's so great to see him get the recognition he deserves for England and for Manchester United. And kind of people always want to compare him to Van Dijk. I mean, it's impossible right now because he's not surrounded by the players that Virgil Van Dijk is. You know, he's doing a good job in a tough situation right now. But I always knew he would go on to great things, and I'm delighted for him because he's a great lad.
The League One playoff final that you played in, is that one of your biggest disappointments in your playing career?
Yeah, funny enough, I was just mentioning that to the players today because we were practicing penalties, and three players missed penalties in a row, and I said, well, it was part of a final that the opposition missed three penalties in a row and we still managed to lose. You know, it was very disappointing. That team deserved promotion that year. I mean, Ched Evans, what happened to him was an injustice, and that cost us as a team. And actually, earlier in the season, I'd missed four games because my son, who'd just recently been born, taken seriously unwell with heart problems. And I missed four games, and in that period, we got a couple of injuries to our centre-backs, and we ended up losing, I think, two or three games that we would never have lost because we were flying high. I think we were maybe the second sub-team in history as well not to get promoted with 90-odd points. So a real disappointment for us. But again, that's football. It's sometimes not meant to be.
In saying that, though, I mean, you played at Wembley. What was that like to play there?
Oh, you know, look, again, so fortunate to play at Wembley twice for Sheffield United, once in an FA Cup semi-final, you know, and once the playoff. It was just disappointing not to win. You know, I think you can look back and say it was a great experience, but at the time, you know, Wembley's for winners. It's for being there and winning, and when you lose, it's a lonely place. But in terms of the atmosphere and the playing surface and all those things, it's just great. It's a great environment to play. And, you know, I'm proud to say I've played there in two really big games.
Danny Wilson, of course, was the manager for a spell there. What was he like to play under?
Danny Wilson was one of my favourite managers to play for. Again, he treated you like adults, treated you like men, let you got on with your jobs, but a good coach on top of that, good man manager. I felt probably played my best football in my career under Danny Wilson in the you know, kind of couple of years he was there. There's a lot of respect for him, and I think he was again very unfortunate to lose his job at the time he did. Again, circumstances, and I think the owners admitted it since then that he probably shouldn't have sacked him. He should have backed him more. So that was a shame at the time. And Danny was a real good manager, and he was unfortunate not to get Sheffield United out of League One into the Championship.
Davy Weir had a spell as a manager there as well, didn't he? But it didn't quite work out for him. Could you put your finger on how it never really worked there?
You know, I think Davy will tell you himself, you know, I still speak to him occasionally, and I think he'll tell you that he made maybe two or three different things that he would have done better, but he did a lot of really good things as well. Like, go unnoticed when you don't win the games, and you know, we were playing some great football at the time and getting beat 1-0 and missing open goals and getting people sent off, and just those type of things, if they go against you, things can quickly turn because then players are not buying into it the way they should. Probably made a couple of mistakes in the transfer market as well, I'm sure he admits, but really unfortunate. And again, that's what can happen in England, isn't it? If you get a job and things don't quite go for you straight away, they can quickly, you know, it can transpire quite badly, and it did. And he lost his job, and it was a shame to see, because he was a really good guy with good staff behind him, but it just didn't work out. So it was a difficult period for him and for the club. We're right down the bottom of the table in League One, which is not where Sheffield United should be.
And it's obviously a changed days now, of course. Chris Wilder's come in and worked wonders there. Have you been amazed with how much he's improved the side and the sort of level that they're playing at now?
Oh, he's doing an unbelievable job. Again, a manager that's totally underrated. If he was Spanish or Italian, they would be touting him for the biggest jobs in England. He's done it excellent. They play fantastic football. I think when he came into the job, he was exactly what the club needed. I just felt, you know, Nigel Atkins took charge when I was there and just didn't understand the club. For me, didn't understand the club, and Chris Wilder did, and I think that's why he's taken them from strength to strength. Just a great club, great backing, supporters are unbelievable, very loyal fans, and demand certain type of player, and I think Wilder's given them that, and it's been a joy to watch.
And before the move to the US comes about, we'll touch on it. You played seven times for the Scotland under 21 side, is that right? And how proud were you to pull on the dark blue jersey?
Hugely proud. One of my biggest ambitions as a young player was to play for Scotland. Had all the strips growing up, used to go and watch the national team, and to play for the 21s was a, you know, real honour. Had a couple of really good results in my time, and then a couple of not so good results. But again, the 21s was going through that period where honestly, it just was, something was not quite right. We had really good players, played alongside some really good players that went on to have really good careers. But again, probably just needed the whole setup just needed, you know, probably modernising in some way. And underachieved, but it was definitely good experiences and played alongside some really good lads.
The move to the United States comes about. How did all that happen, Neil?
I think there was a period in the career where you know, potentially leaving Sheffield United, not definitely, but potentially coming out of contract there, and you know, looking at what my next option was. I felt that I'd played in England for a long period, played a lot of games, and just was quite keen to try something different. I considered coming back to Scotland as well. That would have been high on my agenda to play in Scotland. But the opportunity to come and play for the Tampa Bay Rowdies, somewhere that I knew, because I'd been on holiday plenty of times every summer out in that area, thought it was something worth giving a shot. And you know, the opportunity came as I contacted the club, and they showed an interest, and it happens quite quickly. And not long after that, Joe Cole signed out there, so it was quite an exciting time for the club, and I definitely really enjoyed my time playing there. There was definitely frustrations at times with some of the things about American football out here, or American soccer, I should maybe say, but no, really enjoy, really great club to play for, and I'm happy still to be part of them.
I guess there is major differences compared to UK football that you sort of encounter. What are those?
Oh wow, I don't know where to start. the size of the country is huge, so that then brings its problems. We could say, you know, you don't have like Hearts Hibs rivalry, Rangers Celtic rivalry, Clarke United, Manchester, you know, that doesn't happen, because every game that we play. But I mean, generally, you have to fly. You know, you have to fly to. So you're not bringing an away crowd. So the, you know, the passion from the away fans is a big thing for me. And the European football, you don't have that side of things. The clubs here, I'm lucky to be at one that does have a great tradition and great history, but a lot of these clubs don't. They're new clubs, they're building their fan bases. And then on top of that, the stadiums, you've got some great stadiums, great places to play, Orlando City being one of them. It pains me to say, our own stadium and playing field's fantastic. But yeah, you know, tomorrow night we're going to go and play in the playoffs on a baseball field that's got mostly grass and then part of it's AstroTurf. You know, so these are the challenges that the game faces out here. Because it's not, these people are not brought up with football being the single most important thing in their life. It's other sports. So that's been testing. But the people are really so positive about it and they really want to improve and learn. You know, so that's a good aspect to being out here. You know, they're open to learning, and that's been good.
Did you always have aspirations to move into the coaching side when you were a player?
Yeah, always. Always wanted to be a coach. I mean, I think it goes back to being at university and thinking about potentially not being a player. I wanted to get involved in coaching, and all the way through I've done various bits of coaching. And then when the opportunity, you know, presented itself, I'd been doing a lot of coaching on my own, and I think people have always seen me as someone that would step into that role, and I'm really, really enjoying it. Really enjoying it. I don't regret retiring for a second because I'm enjoying this side of things.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Was it easy to sort of hang the boots up and focus more on the coaching side of things rather than playing, or were you on the sidelines kicking every ball?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough to begin with because the way I played, and you know, I wanted to you know, sit and do certain things. I couldn't be the head coach, but no, I wouldn't say it was an easy decision because I wanted to take the job. I wanted to take the challenge. I was ready to take that different step. I'd played about 600 games in my career, and you know, yeah, I could have played another 50, 100 out here, but I just felt I was ready for that challenge. And then I think the fact that I've not had time to think has been good. I think if I had time to think about it, I would have been a much more difficult decision to make, and I would miss playing if I wasn't coming in every day to try and make this team better, make this club better. So I think that keeps me focused. I think players that retire and don't have that must be difficult. I don't really, you know, wish to be in that situation.
In terms of the Rowdies this season, how are you boys getting on? And are you pleased with how the season's going?
Yeah, look, we're going to be in the playoffs tomorrow night. We ended up finishing fifth. We led the league for two-thirds of the season, top of the league for two-thirds of the season. And it was so tight at the top of the table, really, really tight. We could have still quite easily finished second or third with the last two games, but finished a bit disappointing. But we've made big strides from last year where we finished 12th, so we've made really big strides this year. We've broken a lot of records at the club. You know, away victories and goals scored and things like that, so we can see improvements, and I'm looking forward to continuing to improve. And the way it works out here, we've still got a great chance of winning the championship, so it's exciting times.
Was it tough initially, I guess, to get the head around this no relegation and promotion sort of thing? Is that hard to adjust to?
It's not necessarily hard to adjust to. What I think is difficult is with the players. I feel for the players at times because they don't have that real carrot. At the end, I mean, we all want to win. When you cross that white line, you want to win. But I feel some of them should be able to play their way into a higher level, play their way into earning more money, you know, if their performance dictates that. And that's the difficulty. Back home, when you're in the Championship and you're going for that Premier League, you know, you're going for the Premier League and you're going for the title. That just self-motivating. Here, the players are great. They're really great attitudes. But just that little edge. And I think it would improve the game massively out here. I think that's why the game's stagnating. Is too many players and teams and clubs are not getting pushed, because promotion and relegation sorts it out. That's why a club like Sheffield United was in League One. It couldn't get itself sorted out, but it did. It made them get better, and now that they are where they are, same with Wolves. So I think it's imperative somewhere down the line that American soccer introduce it.
You're over in the States just now. I'd imagine you're enjoying it tremendously, but do you ever have sort of maybe ambitions of coming back to the UK and managing at all?
I think long term, of course, I've got a real big job in my hands, and I foresee myself being here for the next few years. But yes, that would definitely be on my agenda. I think just as I was as a player at Queen's Park, you know, foreseeing, I always wanted to go to England and play and challenge myself there. But the same as a coach, I want to at one point or another come home and test myself in what I think is the best leagues in the world, in the UK. So long way away from that yet, but it's definitely somewhere in the back of my mind.
Yeah, and finally, Neil, I was going to ask it in terms of your playing career, in terms of the players, that the best player you played with and against, if you had to choose one, who would they be?
So in terms of with, although it was at the end of his career, Joe Cole, when he first came out here, showed me what a real top player must have been like when he was playing for Chelsea in England. I mean, he was phenomenal. His turn of pace, his change of direction, his ability with the ball, he was unbelievable. I played with a lot of really good players, not maybe all household names, but Joe Cole, I would love to have seen him and played with him when he was right at the top, because he was phenomenal. In terms of against, again, played against some really good players, but one guy that I played against, and he wasn't at his best, but Wayne Rooney. I think Wayne Rooney just always seems to be able to get the job done because he's a winner. He scored last minute at Old Trafford against us, a penalty, and he wasn't the player that he used to be, but I just think someone like Wayne Rooney always seems to be able to be successful in what he does and scoring goals, and he's always adapted, you know, so I've got a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, he was a player and a half, that's for sure. Excellent stuff. Well, Neil, that'll do us there. Thanks very much for joining us on the Talking Football podcast.
Thank you. Pleasure. All the best.
Well, that was episode 16 of the Talking Football podcast with Neil Collins. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again for listening. Remember, if you've missed any episode, you can catch them on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and at DerekClarkSports.co.uk. Remember, we're also on Twitter as well. We're at Talking_football, as well as Facebook. I hope you can join me again next week, where I'll be speaking to a former Canadian internationalist, best known for his time at St Johnstone. Until then, bye for now.